You know, if you saw a crippled person walk for the first time, or a blind eye see, or a deaf person hear, or a mute speak, it'd be like, wow, God. But every answered prayer is a miracle. Every prophetic word that comes true is a miracle. Prophecy by nature is miraculous. God is good. Nudge your neighbor, or look at your neighbor, or point to your neighbor, or whatever you do when you're socially distanced, and just say these words to them. Anxiety is sewage. Hallelujah to Jesus forever. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look, in fact, you know what? While you're looking that up, it's Philippians 4 verse 6. I'm just going to show you the rest of my retro here. You know, I brought the old leather jacket. Look at this. Hang on a second. Hang on. Proper 80s boy. Am I right? Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Anyway, enough of this stuff. I saw one church, you know, talking about, like, I was putting on my clothes, but that, there was one church in California, because of all this lockdown nonsense, there was one church in California. Apparently, churches were forced to be closed in California, but strip clubs were allowed to be open. So this pastor turned his church into a strip club. So, I mean, he only stripped down to his T-shirt, but he said, you know, he said, now we qualify, and he carried on preaching the word. Isn't that good? You have to be resourceful in these times. Glory to Jesus forever. Okay, where are we? Philippians 4, verse number 6. Philippians 4, 6. The Bible says this, and one great thing about how the Bible says what it says a lot of the time is that we have to understand that there's certain things that are not optional. There are certain things that are written, and they are commands to the new creation. And this is one of them. Be anxious for nothing. Wow, how much anxiety is out there. You see, we've got to learn the source of our sewage. If you had a leak in your house and the whole house was starting to smell, and it's like, bad, right? I mean, you'd call a plumber, right? Or those of you'd call the landlord if you're in rented, or you'd call, like, whatever, you know, but you'd call somebody, and you'd be looking for the source of that sewage. And we've got to know, in this day and age, we've got to know the source of our sewage. We've got to know what is and where it's coming from. The number of thoughts, I don't know about you, but my mind in the last probably 10 months, and I don't know whether it's a viral thing. I don't know whether it's one of the effects of this COVID-19 virus, because I've had it at least once. Possibly even twice, I don't know, but the second time it was just like a couple of days, I felt tired and blah, blah, I was back on my feet. But I don't know if it's an effect of that viral thing, that thoughts seem to be like racing 110 miles an hour through my mind. Has anyone else experienced that in the last while? Yeah. And a lot of them have been anxious thoughts, like really kind of, you know, well, what about this? What about that? What if this? What if that? You know, the thousands and thousands of decisions that you have to make. And then, I don't know about you, but like social media multiplied that by 100 times. I mean, there were times in the last like 10 months or so where social media was just toxic. You know, the news media, they're always toxic. In fact, I was reading a paper on how news is created, how news is prioritized in the minds and in the boardrooms of editorial groups. You know, because they have what's called usually a daily meeting in terms of, right, well, what news are we going to put out there? What sort of edge, what sort of spin are we going to put on the news that we're putting out, because there's five different ways you can tell a story depending on the outcome that you want to achieve. So we are, a lot of the time, we are the victims of the agendas, not necessarily of those that we've appointed to government in a democracy, or if you're in somewhere like China, or the government that's over you that you've got no choice for, etc. And you are then the subject of that particular item of news. And one thing I've found really fascinating is looking at the news angles from different countries. Anyone else ever done that? It's really, really interesting. So, for instance, on my satellite box, I've got Sky News, I've got France 24, I've got Al Jazeera, I've got Russia Today, I've got CNN, I've got Bloomberg, and all of these, like, and I tend to flip when there's one major story. I tend to flip from one to the other to see the angle and to see the spin. Because at the back of the minds of the people who are doing all this editorial stuff, there's the outcome that they want to generate. There's the outcome that they want to create in your mind. So there's certain things that are nuanced. I love that word, nuanced, because it's the underhand stuff that they won't specifically say, but they'll shove like the envelope under your door that you then pick up and read. And it's fascinating the effect that it can have on you. So personally, what I've started to do is to treat the news media as sewage. I don't mean the individuals. You know, the Bible says love all people, etc. But how many of you would eat a prawn that you found in a drain? No. In fact, when we first bought this place in 2008, one of my jobs was to clean out. There's a corner drain out there that was giving us really severe problems. And we called the Dynarod man and all that kind of stuff. It was still causing problems. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to stick my hand down there and see what I find, right? Eww, big mistake, bruv. Big mistake. Not recommended. In fact, me and Tim Collins, I think, are the only two to have stuck our hands down any kind of drain, right? So I'm putting my hand down this drain, and I get all this, like, silt. My arm bends around, and I get all this silt, and I look at this thing, and in the midst of the silt is a prawn. And it's alive. A living prawn. Yeah. And I thought, wow. Now, can you imagine if I ran into the industrial kitchen, Auntie Rhoda, do me a favor. Cook this sucker up, please. And look what I just found outside. It's like, Pastor P, where did you get it? But you see, our thinking can be like that if it's generated from the wrong source. So I have to go back to the Word of God as my primary source. Have to go back to the Word of God as my primary source and see the Word in its purity. That's why, you see, the new creation, in fact, God said this to me. He said, let me try and get what he said word for word. He said, the new creation is the most powerful form of human existence there is. The new creation is the most powerful form of human existence there is. Now, the difficulty is we don't know that we're the new creation. We think we're the same old, same old. Our minds, our how we see ourselves, our self-image is still, to all intents and purposes, in the vast majority of cases, yet to be regenerated. And the only way that we can create the picture, the right self-image that's necessary for us to be what God has already made us, because this isn't something that we're having to invent ourselves. This, for us, is coming home. Do you get what I'm saying? Because the eternal you is greater than the temporary you. So the new creation, you, is better and greater than the unregenerated you. How do we get that regeneration? Well, the Bible says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. So there's a richness that comes from the word that can only have its origin in the word that changes you from the inside out. The Bible calls it literally metamorphosis. So it's the turning of the slug into the butterfly. That's the process of renewing. The Bible says, be transformed, be changed into another form by the renewing of your mind. That's how powerful renewing our minds can be, right? According to what the word says. So I am what the word of God says I am. I can do what the word of God says I can do. All things are possible to him who believes, and all things are therefore possible to me. That's the highest form of human that can exist. You and I are those types of people. But we live in an unregenerate world. We live in a world that's talking to us continually. And we need to know, we need to be able to sort the wheat from the chaff. Really, really important. The Bible says there's many voices out there and none without meaning. So there's meaning and there's relevance to all those voices. But if you're listening to the wrong voice at the wrong time, Lord Jesus, help you in this day and age. I did an exercise a few weeks ago, where my mind was starting to run away and like, ooh, you know, what does tomorrow hold? Blah, 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 blah. And that's sewage thinking. In the wrong light. Jesus said, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. I've got tomorrow. Sit back, relax. I have got tomorrow. Sufficient. What are we going to wear? What are we going to eat? What are we going to do? You know, I worked out our survival plan for our house in case power went down, in case water went down at the height of this pandemic. I knew where I'd get power. I knew where I'd get water. And I knew where I'd get basic food that would sort of last for a couple of weeks. Anyone else like that? Or was it just crazy? Bruv, this is how my mind was going. I mean, and then, listen though, on top of that was the well-being for all the saints in this house. Because I feel personally responsible. I shouldn't feel burdened by that responsibility. Paul the Apostle said, in fact, in 2 Corinthians 12, he said, on top of all this stuff going on out there, he says, there is the burden on me for all the churches. And that literal Greek word, that word burden there is a Greek word merimna. Sounds nice, but it's horrible. It's the kind of burden that will crush you. In fact, Peter, in 1 Peter 5:7, he says, casting all your merimna on the Lord because he cares for you. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, he cares for you. You see, it's all right. You're all masked up and sanitized up, and God knows what, they're chasing you around the house with the disinfectant and Lord knows what else. But we're doing pretty good. Praise Jesus. That's one amen. Anyone else doing pretty good? Yes. Anyone here starved to death? No. Anyone here had to go and drink water from the River Thames? No. Or the River Lee? Hey, Jesus. I grew up in Tottenham, so I know what's in that river. Lord, have mercy. Enough said. Let's get back to the word. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Be anxious for nothing except pandemics. No. You sure?
Yes.
Yeah? Except politics?
No.
Except relatives?
No.
Except your job?
No.
Except your education?
No.
Some kids are just like having fun with this lockdown teaching thing. There was some guy, listen to this, some little kid in America who changed his name on Zoom to Reconnecting. Isn't that so clever? That is so clever. Played on his PlayStation all day. And just down at the bottom, it just said reconnecting dot, dot, dot. Isn't that so clever? Man, I tell you, you've got to be up early to beat this next generation. You really have. Wow. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Why? Because we serve a God who answers prayer. He answers. Do you understand the privilege of serving a God who answers prayer? Yeah. Call unto me, the Bible says, and I will what? Answer. I serve a God who answers prayer. I serve a God who answers prayer. I serve a God who answers prayer. There's sometimes when I'm praying for people, and the Lord said to me, He said, just ask. He said, I'm just waiting for you to ask. And I just asked. And like, it wasn't days before the answer was there for that particular individual. And God was the person who put that individual in my mind's eye while I was praying. And the privilege of being there and sitting there and knowing that my God, because every answered prayer is a miracle, you see? If you saw a crippled person walk for the first time, or a blind eye see, or a deaf person hear, or a mute speak, it'd be like, wow, God. But every answered prayer is a miracle. Every prophetic word that comes true is a miracle. Prophecy by nature is miraculous. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why I love it. I love it when God gives me a prophetic word to give and I just rocket the thing out and just watch it there. Watch it just grow, 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 and then boom, I love it. Absolutely. Be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4:6. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Look what happens. Next verse. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Look at where it's guarding. Look at what it's guarding. Your heart. So the peace of God will guard your heart. What is your heart? That's the seat of you. That's where your understanding resides. That's where your agendas reside. That's where your motivators reside. We all have motives and motivators and little engine gears and all that kind of stuff. We all have minds and wills and emotions. We are that kind of people. And that's where all this kind of stuff resides. The peace of God will guard it. Let the peace of God guard you. In this day and age where, like, people are so nervous, I remember joking last February about people sneezing on the tube. I don't know if anyone remembers that, but I was saying, you know, we're reaching that point where, you know, someone sneezes on the tube. This is last February. This is before all this kind of, like, the reality of this thing really hit home. And, you know, someone sneezes on the tube and everyone's looking at them like, you know, like, I want to kill you. What are you doing? You know, that's the kind of level of anxiety, febrile level anxiety. Where it's like, well, we're Pastor P, we're afraid of COVID. No, you're not. You're not. You're afraid of dying. And death to the believer is like going next door. It's like literally, it's just like changing house. It's what it is. Read your Bible. The Bible says when we are absent from the body, we are what? Present with the Lord. Well, I'll take away all your fear. If you die, we'll bury your carcass, celebrate your life, and move on. Meet you soon. Anyone here going to live forever on earth? No. No, this is temporary dwelling. This is just practice land. This is where what we get right gets rewarded in heaven. What we get right on earth becomes our heavenly reward. That's what we're pushing for. That's the goal. That's the destination. The Bible says, I press on for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So what are you going to treat anxiety as? Sewage. Let anxiety be like sewage in your mind. The peace of God, verse number 7, Philippians 4, the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension shall guard your heart and shall guard your mind in Christ Jesus. If you are afraid of losing your mind, then chances are the source is anxiety. Where is that anxiety coming from? That experiment I did a couple of weeks back where I just took my phone and I just turned off all social media. I turned off all news sources, and the only thing I left on was Spotify. And I rediscovered big band jazz and Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan, Dinah Washington. I mean, oh, Lord have mercy. Suddenly my youth was renewed like the eagle, to the extent that my head usher mistook me for my 20-year-old son. Hallelujah to Jesus. Well, my wife's excited. Praise God. The rest of you will catch up. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Look what he says. The peace of God which surpasses comprehension. This thing isn't ordinary. But, you know, Pastor P, we're in the middle of a pandemic. We're in the middle of a downturn and a lockdown and a double dip and all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, the financial implications have yet to come home to roost in this whole thing. But you look so young and you look so free and you look so agile and just peaceful and... My daughter's laughing at me now. Lord Jesus, I better move on. What's the source? The peace of God, which passes all comprehension, is guarding my heart, is guarding my mind in Christ Jesus. So I've got two prison guards, if you like. One is guarding my heart. The other one is guarding my mind. And I refuse anxiety. I treat anxiety like sewage. How many of you are just going to treat anxiety differently? Do you know what anxiety is? Anxiety is fear of the future. Fear is fear of what's happening now. There's fear, there's torment, there's terror. Torment is severe anxiety. And the Bible says, there is no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear. So there's the presence of one or the other. We're either in fear or we're in love. When we're in afraid, we do the wrong things. We listen to the wrong voices. We act wrongly. But when we're in love, we do the right thing. The peace of God guards us. And we know that we are held in the palm of his hand. When you pass through the raging waters, you shall not be harmed. There used to be this old charismatic song, be not afraid, I go before you always. Come follow me and I will give you rest. Anyone remember that song? Thank you. When you pass through raging waters, in the sea you will not drown. It's from the 1950s, Jess. What were you doing? My goodness, glory to God, Catholic Church, indeed. When you stand before the fires of hell and death is at your side, know that I am with you through it all. Okay, we'll move on. Praise God. Joel, the prophet Joel, chapter 3. Joel 3, praise God. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Anyone else, the book of Joel runs away on you sometimes. Joel chapter 3. And we'll look at verse number 16. I love this. Praise God. Joel 3, verse 16. Says, the Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth tremble. But the Lord is a refuge for his people and a stronghold to the sons of Israel. There's one translation, I don't know whether it's the King James or not. It might not be, it might be the Berean, I'm not sure. But it says this, it says, but the Lord is a place of repair for his people. Isn't that good? The Lord is a place of repair. Literally, that word in the Hebrew, the origins of that word were places for ships to go in a storm. A place like a harbor, but like a stormproof harbor. If you ever need a stormproof harbor in your life, the Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. So there's a place of safety. There is a place of refuge. There is a place of repair. And the name of that place is the Lord. That's the God that we serve. The Lord is a refuge for his people. The Lord is a place of repair for his people. If you've been through this last 10 months and you feel like you just need repair, this is what God was saying to me this morning. He said, The things that I'm going to be doing in this season, he said, as you're pressing, he said, I'm going to be repairing. As you're pressing, I'm going to be repairing. So if you need that repair, if you've come through this last 10 months just battered and all sorts of like, oh, gosh, this thing is relentless. Firstly, let me encourage you. Take out your phone. I keep, because I'm studying Arabic at the moment. The Arabic word for sewage is najis. So turn off the najis. Turn off the sewage. Crank the thing off. You won't miss anything. People, you know, if there's urgent news, I'm sure people will be on the phone gossiping it to you anyway. So you're not going to miss much. The world doesn't depend on you knowing things. Amen. Yeah, yeah. So make sure that you get back in control. When your mind tries to run away with you, your mind can be very strong. In fact, one of the things that we teach in Life Changers is to keep that balance between your spirit and your mind. Always have your spirit as the one in the ascendancy. Always let your spirit dominate your mind. Because if your mind dominates your spirit, your mind can run away with you. Absolutely run off. And by the time you kind of realize, wow, it's 100 miles up the road. Why? Because the guard is gone. Why was the guard gone? Because you were anxious. Do you get the chain? The peace of God will guard if you're anxious for nothing. So don't be anxious for anything. The Bible says in the last days, it says men's hearts will grow faint because of fear. And because of anxiety. And we mustn't let that happen. The Lord likes strong-hearted people. Amen. Amen. So it's really, really important that we grab a hold of this and that we allow the Lord to be the steering voice, the steering guide in our lives. Take the wheel, Jesus. Stand to your feet right now. I just want to just minister to you. If I could have the worship team up. Thank you, Lord. Just the musicians. I won't need singers, I think. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we bless the holy name of Jesus. And we thank you so much for this season of repair. Thank you for this time of repair. Lord God, forgive our faults as a nation, Lord God, the way we care so little for your word. The way we care so little for your ways. Forgive us, Father. Show your hand of mercy. once again in our land, Lord God. Let this season of repair that we are coming into, Father, let it be so strong. Guys, the picture I'm getting is like when a car has been in a crash or has been dented. It's like, you know, there needs to be like panel beating and sanding and, you know, all that kind of knocking and banging and loosening and tightening and all that kind of stuff, realigning, all that sort of thing. Allow God, just give him open invitation to do whatever needs doing in terms of repair. Just invite him in as the repairman right now. Just close your eyes and just say, Heavenly Father, I invite you to be the repairer, the restorer. Over the next few days and weeks, Lord God, repair, restore, as I cast my anxieties on you, because you care for me. I need not worry about what tomorrow holds, but you hold me in the palm of your hand. When I pass through raging waters, I shall not drown, for the Lord is by my side. He's my healer and my guide. He's my refuge and my place of repair in this season. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.